there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go! This is the Lombardi Line
with Ben Wilson and Mike Pritchard on VSiN.
Welcome in, everybody. It's another edition of the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. We're here from downtown Las Vegas at our Circa Sportsbook Studios. It's the Final Four NFL edition this week on the Lombardi Line with Mike Pritchard. He's the former NFL wide receiver. Good to be back with you, Pritch.
Good to be back with you, Ben.
We just hung out for like 4 hours Sunday
night. Yes, we did.
On the Pro Football Blitz.
The whole weekend.
We did. Yeah, really the whole weekend. We couldn't separate us.
That's right. That's right.
Lombardi Line. Now we're doing the Pro Football Blitz. On
so we are highly familiar with this conference championship.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. We will be very much as the week goes on. I'm Ben Wilson. Brian Ortega, our producer behind the glass. Some line movement that we'll get to continuing in the Cincinnati-Kansas City game, as well as the latest injury reports, the things you need to know as you get ready for conference championship weekend. The biggest news, though, in the NFL today, Mike, it's a team in Foxborough, New England Patriots, that were a big disappointment this year. A lot of question marks as to what were the issues around the offensive play calling and what would be done to address those. Well, reports are today, coming out this morning, that Bill O'Brien heading back to New England. He is set to become the new offensive coordinator for the Patriots, according to Adam Schefter of ESPN, last an assistant coach in the 2007 to 2011 stretch, and briefly crossed over with Mac Jones, the Patriot quarterback, when O'Brien was hired by Nick Saban at Alabama to take over as their offensive coordinator. Jones was on his way out. They did overlap during the pre-draft process, and now it is Jones and O'Brien united in Foxborough. How big of an impact do you see this being?
Well, it's huge. I mean, one, I love the NFL for a lot of reasons. Ultimately, it's going to humble you, and it's going to humble the greatest of them all, which is Bill Belichick. Yeah. What's the Greek freak quote? When you focus on the past, that's your ego, Bill Belichick. So good for you to finally get past your ego. Instead of Matt Patricia and all this stuff and all your coaching knowledge, you go out and get an offensive coordinator. Good for you. Thank you. You focus on the present. You get humbled, right? So they needed to do that. I think Mac Jones is going to be more familiar with the college concepts that O'Brien's going to bring, as well as the NFL concepts that O'Brien's going to bring too. So you're going to help your quarterback immensely. Here, you're going to settle him down. We saw him throw fits last year with his hand gestures and everything towards the sideline. I mean, obviously, it was a frustrating moment. And also, the quarterback went backwards. I mean, that's the guy they drafted in the first round, and they did not help him at all when you hire Mr. Pencil to call plays when he's a defensive guy. And then Joe Judge as a quarterback's coach. That's why he was wound so tightly, because you're going to work and you're seeing Joe Judge every day. But no, I think O'Brien, like I said, he's going to settle that process down, the growth process for Mac Jones, and get back to more of the concepts that he is highly familiar with.
Thank you for invoking, first off, the great Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Oh, of course. I love that quote, by the way.
It was a great quote.
Outstanding.
Sure, great players from generations on could have used that quote.
That's right.
To at least keep themselves humble and continuing to grow forward. You just look at the in retrospect part of this for New England with a dual play caller of sorts, where it was never really openly said, yet assumed and known by people around the league, with a Matt Patricia and Joe Judge's offense. In retrospect, Mike, I realize that, to kind of qualify this, your last year in the league was 2000. A lot has changed in the NFL in the two decades since. What sort of historical context or past experiences were there, though, to say that that sort of thing would have ever worked, though, from your experience? I mean, did you ever see that happen in your time in the league?
Never. I mean, I worked with some of the best play callers to ever call plays in this game. When you think about June Jones, you know, the whole Miles Davis, the whole evolution of the run and shoot. Then you go to, you know, Jim Fossil, rest in peace, great coach. Then you go to Mike Shanahan, and then Mike Holmgren. I mean, I know what it takes for those guys to call plays and the talent that they are on display with those guys each and every Sunday or game day. For Bill Belichick to suggest that, oh, yeah, any coach can call plays. I mean, that was a slap in the face to a lot of people that put a lot of work into it. So that was all about ego, too. Like I said, I mean, it's about ego. Okay, I'm the greatest coach ever. These coaches are going to be fine. Our quarterback's going to be fine. Everything's going to be great. We know what we're doing. No, you don't. It was dysfunctional. And you saw that play out on Sundays. And as a bettor, I mean, you could take advantage of it sometimes. There was a Belichick tax, too, involved, in which I was able to cash a couple of tickets that way. But no, this is more about the growth of your quarterback. This is more about the growth of your football team and returning back to respectability. I mean, the league is too tough. And once you think you know it all, that's when the league will humble you.
And that is now where Bill Belichick is at.
That's where he's
head
at.
Coach. You think about the past experience, though, for Bill O'Brien. He was there first as an offensive assistant in 2007, promoted to wide receivers coach in 2008. 2009, though, was the year he did take over as play caller after Josh McDaniels left. McDaniels taking the head coaching job with Denver at the time. And that was a year of transition for New England because it was after the Brady ACL injury week one, 2008. Matt Castle takes over as backup quarterback, leads him to a really good 11-5 season, but the Patriots missed the playoffs. Castle gets traded to Kansas City that offseason. O'Brien comes in as play caller, and the Patriots picked up right where they had left off in 2007. Right. There was really not much of a struggle or transition, and that was the first of 11 straight AFC East titles in O'Brien's first year as a play caller. Obviously, Tom Brady was still in his prime, albeit coming off an ACL injury, but the play calling spoke for itself, and that was a 10-6 team that did lose in the wild card round his first year as a play caller, but one that did put up huge offensive numbers.
Right. I mean, everything you laid out is the story of the National Football League, though, because, I mean, every great head coach, and Bill Belichick is a great head coach. He's the greatest of all time. I'll give him his flowers back now.
There you go.
But every great head coach will tell you it's all about the staff, too, and the coaches that are around them, right? And I think if you talk to any play calling head coach, they had an awesome offensive coordinator. Right. Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy. You know, you can go on and on down the line in terms of play caller slash head coach. They had outstanding assistant coaches. Charlie Weiss prior to Josh McDaniels. Right. And I mean, that's the thing about that was mystifying with Bill Belichick and what he was doing with Patricia and Joe Judge. Right. You know, and you worked with these guys before and maybe you thought you could work it out. But now you are going to bring somebody that you worked with before and then somebody that is familiar with Mac Jones. Mac Jones predominantly played with Sark as his coordinator, but you know they overlapped a little bit. I think he was a consultant on that staff in Alabama. So, but more importantly, it's going to be something that's more familiar to Mac Jones, and we're not going to see the temper tantrums. We're not going to see that. Perhaps we shouldn't see it anyway.
You'd hope at least.
We hope. I mean, New England hopes, right? And so I think this is encouraging. Certainly stuff to file away as a better for the New England Patriots as you want to evaluate them through the offseason.
It's a New England team that from the 2022 season, as much as we focus on the offensive struggles and how they missed the postseason for the first time since that 2008 year going 8-9, it was a team that finished 10th defending the run,
right,
first against the pass, tied for 5th in yards per play allowed. This is a really good defense. And yet Mac Jones was 29th out of the 32 qualified starters as it related to EPA per play plus completion percentage over expectation. You could make the argument that with an adult in the room there coaching the offense, that is a playoff team for the New England Patriots, yet they were so far away finishing 8-9. Does this make you think heading into next year, given the Bills have a lot of questions to answer in the offseason?
The
Miami Dolphins have a lot of questions to answer in the offseason. Those were the two AFC East playoff representatives that New England will be back to being a live playoff team in the futures market next
year. Yeah, I mean, there are some strong quotes coming out in New York about scouring the earth for a quarterback. I don't know if you saw that. And they need a coordinator. I mean, there's that whole division is in flux now, and you got to get it right. And you got to get it right now. And I think O'Brien allows the New England Patriots to be a viable option for the division, to be honest with you, coming up next season.
And you were really high on New England, right, coming into this year, but that was before some of the cracks started to emanate and at least become public knowledge, because you were assuming there would be some sort of replacement for Josh McDaniels when he left to take the Las Vegas Raider head coaching job, right?
When they hired Patricia and then, okay, Joe Judge is a quarterback's coach, I was no longer high.
You were high at first, and then it...
Then it was like, it was temporary. What are you doing, right? And then it was like, okay, you have to prove this to me now. And as a better, that's how I approach New England. Like, you guys got to prove it to me. You know, at times it looked okay. It never looked great. It never felt great. But on top of what they had defensively, like you just laid out, I mean, they could have made the playoffs. I mean, we saw the rise of the Jets, like I mentioned, but, you know, you cannot let your ego get in the way. And so now you're humbled talking about Bill Belichick and the Patriots. And I don't know if Kraft had a hand in this too, but you know, you got to get back on the right track, and you got to get that quarterback back on the right track.
Patriots will draft 14th in the upcoming NFL draft. Yeah. It's interesting to think about from a power rating standpoint. Mm-hmm. How do you rate the four teams in the AFC East heading into next year? You figure Buffalo's still the favorite to win the AFC East, but what do you do with teams 2 through 4?
That's a great question.
I would rate that. Like,
I mean, like I said, we talked about this before too, Pro Football Blitz, in terms of all the impending free agents that's going to take place for the free agency situation for Buffalo. And then are they going to be able to sign some of these key players, and or are they going to kind of just change what they've been doing because it hasn't worked? Mm-hmm. They haven't got to a Super Bowl yet. So I think the division is in flux though. And you got Bill Belichick, the greatest of all time, who has corrected himself by bringing in a competent offense coordinator.
Think about the teams who've lost in the AFC postseason so far this year. Miami, who knows what will happen with Tua Tagovailoa at quarterback in the offseason. Baltimore, who knows what will happen with Lamar Jackson at quarterback this offseason. Did you see they just signed his cousin, claimed off waivers from Dallas? Is that like a... Let's try to really get ourselves out ahead of this if we're Baltimore?
I don't know. Okay, put yourself in Lamar's shoes. You want guaranteed money, or do you want to play with your cousin?
It seems like it just...
Yeah.
They're trying to put themselves in the right frame of mind. Trayvon Mullen claimed off waivers.
Yeah, they're trying to look good to the public, saying, hey, if we don't have Lamar Jackson, we tried, but how you keep a player that wants the demands that he wants is you give him the guaranteed money, or you come close to a number that is adequate for Lamar.
He signed his cousin. Probably not the same.
Yeah, we can barbecue to see my cousin.
That is the other news of the day outside of the Bill O'Brien hiring, going to New England. Trayvon Mullen signed off waivers by Baltimore. Yes, the cousin of Lamar Jackson. We still have a lot to get to, just getting started on the Lombardi line. Up next, the latest injury reports coming out of the conference championship games. We'll go to Kansas City when we return.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN with Ben Wilson and Mike Pritchard.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. As we're just getting started, Tuesday edition of the Lombardi Line. Will Hill, do it all VSiN analyst, joins us in a little bit this hour. Josh Applebaum, host of the VSiN Morning Daily Bets podcast, he will join us in hour number two. The line movement is starting to get out of control, though, Mike, for
really
the AFC
is.
Championship game. Cincinnati and Kansas City, you and I were on the air for the Pro Football Blitz Sunday night when the line opened. It was Bengals, Chiefs minus two. It's now gone 4 points in the opposite direction. Cincinnati now in the market, a consensus two-point favorite, and a couple of books, including behind us in downtown Las Vegas at Circa, have gone to 2.5.
Yeah.
2.5, Mike.
Well, I tell you what. I mean, my first inclination here, obviously we talked about a teaser on Pro Football Blitz, and I was waiting for the Lions to see what happens with the market, and now you're talking about getting through eight and getting through to two possessions in each game from a teaser standpoint. The NFL this year had, let me find it again here, make sure that I want to state this accurately.
I think I know what you're about to say.
About
the most one-score games in NFL history. Yes,
the NFL had more one-possession games than ever before. And why is that going to change now in the conference championships? From a probability standpoint, from a betting standpoint, I mean, even if Patrick doesn't play or doesn't finish, it's a year at a backup quarterback, and we've had more one-possession games than ever before. So I know there's overreaction, there's reaction and all that, but, yeah, I'm certainly inclined to, you know, follow through with what we talked about.
You bring up Patrick Mahomes, and that is why the line is moving. Mm-hmm. If you look at the power ratings over the course of the season, and Cincinnati and Kansas City played in Cincinnati a little bit earlier this year.
Yeah.
Kansas City was a two-point road favorite. So if you assign 1.5 to home field advantage and you flip that around, you would then say, okay, Kansas City by 5. Now, that is not taking into account how well Cincinnati played down the stretch, mm-hmm. some of the struggles Kansas City had as big favorites. I personally would have made the game, assuming full health for both teams, Kansas City minus 3.
Okay.
If you assume Patrick Mahomes is worth, let's just conservatively call him a 7-point move on the line, if you downgrade Mahomes to Chad Henne, that would then make Cincinnati a 4-point road favorite, which the line is now getting perilously close to assuming here. Yet our original reaction to the high ankle sprain suffered by Mahomes on Saturday night is to say, okay, he's going to play, but how effective will he be? And that's where the week of speculation begins. Here's what head coach Andy Reid, for what it's worth, had to say yesterday on this.
I mean, he mentioned it to you that he's going to play. So, I mean, that's his mindset, and then we'll just take it day by day and see how he does. In the game plan part, we don't have to do much either way. I mean, they both run the same play. So as far as the reps, I've got to see how he feels, when we get ready for practice.
That is Andy Reid. Not really saying anything we weren't expecting to, to give away, but how do you interpret just the general narrative and the information that we're going to see out of Kansas City over the next few
years? I mean, Andy Reid has experience with this. Remember T.O. broke his leg before the Super Bowl? And he played with a broken leg in the Super Bowl?
At 2004?
Yeah.
Eagles-Patriots.
The offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs, Eric Bieniemy, broke his leg and played in the championship game. You know, broke a bone in his leg. Patrick Mahomes has familiarity with his injuries. I mean, the guy dislocated his kneecap and came back that year. I mean, it's sports, it's the athlete, it's doing something that normal people can't do. And, you know, yesterday on the Lombardi Line with Patrick and Michael, I talked about supernaturals. You know, Micah Parsons is a supernatural, right? I think about these impact players, Warner, Greenlaw, those guys are supernaturals. They do things that other people can't normally do. Patrick Mahomes is a supernatural. He's been in the league, as long as he's been in the league, he's gone to AFC Conference Championship games. He's hosted them. So I know what the line's doing. I know what the line's suggesting. Mm-hmm. I know what the market's trying to do with this game. But there is so much more to this than Patrick Mahomes and his injury. I mean, we were talking about this during the break. And if there's ever a time for an athlete to cross the line and risk it in terms of trying to do whatever you need to do to get healthy, it's the AFC Conference Championship game, right? Like in terms of, are you going to get drug tested? You know, there's DMSO or there's deer antler spray. Remember that from Ray Lewis?
Yeah. I mean, the deer antler. I mean, yes.
Yeah. Look, you're trying to heal and you're trying to feel good for a game. And you're working around the clock, trying to create blood flow to that area to help heal it. But if there's ever a time to risk it, and like he risked it in the game just past weekend, you know, going back out there on one leg. I mean, I think professional athletes, we are conditioned to take risk, and we are conditioned to compete and to block things out. And I mean, this guy wants to play. Andy Reid just talked about how his mindset is focused on playing. And I think Patrick is going to do anything and everything possible to try to get out on that field.
And because at a certain point, the way the betting market is set up, it is going to be an overreaction and it will go too far, especially if it trends in this current direction. The number has only been up for 36 hours and already it's flipped an entire 4 points. If we talk rehab,
yeah,
what does that look like for Mahomes this week?
Well, it's round the clock. Like I said, it's all about blood flow and trying to create situations where you can get those healthy blood cells in there to help it heal. I mean, it's more painful. There's going to be swelling, but it's the high ankle sprains are mostly pain related too. And so you're going to protect it, but you're going to work around the clock. I remember when I had my situation with my knee, it was around the clock. I mean, I would go home with a machine. It would do compression on my knee. I would elevate my leg at night next to my wife on a wedge, and the machine would be going, compressing it with ice. And that was around the clock. In addition to getting my knee drained 3 times a week. Wow. But then ultimately on game day, I had to take a Toradol shot.
So you did all that.
Sure.
Still.
But that Toradol shot helped. That thing.
Got you over the up there.
That thing turned back years on my life right there.
Well, it's like remember when Russell Wilson had his famous quote of, I'm rehabbing 21 hours a day.
Yeah. But
as much as you could make fun of that, I mean, the reality is there you are having something that is working on, whether it's a knee or an ankle, pretty much around the clock is what you're saying.
And the thing about a Toradol shot, like, I don't know if Patrick would do that because of his ankle, but if they brace that thing, like say he cannot move it, and it's all about pain. Like I said, I would not put it past anybody from a conference championship standpoint to get to the Super Bowl, to do anything, everything possible to be out there on the field to compete.
I have to think he is able to suit up, and a teaser now becomes very, very intriguing. Whew. Teasing up San Francisco and Kansas City. Now you can get it through the 3 and the 7. We'll get into some of our overall game handicap thoughts a little bit later, but for now, just kind of focusing on the injuries as of today. While everybody's going to talk about Patrick Mahomes as a quarterback and his high ankle sprain for the rest of the week in Kansas City, are we just going to forget about the fact that the Bengals had 3 offensive line starters out last week? Is that just, are we just done? Is that not even a concern anymore, Mike?
I think it is. It should be. You know, Daquan Jones did not play. That's over 300 pounds for Buffalo. Ed Oliver is not the same, you know, and also the addition of Jordan Phillips. That was another 300-pounder that did not play. He played 19 snaps for Buffalo. And so that offensive line, that was neutralized, that situation with the injuries. Now here comes Chris Jones, and he is a game wrecker. So you got your backups against Chris Jones, you know, and so we'll see about the health of Cincinnati and the offensive line as the week progresses. But Chris Jones, he's a supernatural.
Yeah.
You know, when I look at betting and I look at, you know, people that can change the game, I call them and I put a star next to your name because they're a supernatural. And I pay attention to that because the team opposite that person is paying attention to that particular player.
It's not something we can just forget and say, well, they made it work 1 week, the Bengals, so now it's not going to be an issue. The latest coming out of Cincinnati from head coach Zach Taylor, this was reported late yesterday, both Jonah Williams and Alex Kappa. I look at my updated quote here. Zach Taylor said the same thing about both guys.
Mm-hmm.
He said they're both improving every day and the team will see where it ends up. Yeah. That is not exactly committing one way or another. But Williams, the left tackle, out. Kappa, the right guard, out from last week, as was right tackle Lyle Collins, who remains on IR. The other one, too, you look at the center position, and Ted Karras got banged up early in that game.
Yeah.
How close to 100% is Karras, really? And he's going to be questionable coming into the week. That's what he's listed right now in the depth chart. But I'd have some concerns about Karras, too. Is it a true anchor? He's a captain of that offensive line.
Yeah, he was hobbling all game long. I remember when he got hurt, I think somebody ran into him or something like that, and I remember even the sideline report, they indicated that he was battling through it because they're low on numbers when it comes to the offensive line.
Not a whole lot of bodies that Cincinnati can rotate in anymore. That injury situation should not be overlooked. As much as Patrick Mahomes is a superstar and his right ankle will get the majority of the talk, Cincinnati, the offensive line, it was an issue going into last week. Just because they overcame it doesn't mean you should ignore it heading into this week. As we start our early look at championship weekend, we'll do that next, talking a couple of interesting matchups in Cincinnati and Kansas City.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN with Ben Wilson and Mike Pritchard.
If you're looking for a betting edge on football's big game, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with an introductory offer of only $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests, tools like our betting splits, deep dive betting reports, VSiN betting guides for the biggest games of the season, where our experts break down brackets, best bets, and all the big game props. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to sign up for only $9.99. That is VSIN.com/subscribe. Mike Pritchard, I suppose we have to retire right route, wrong route, because how do you find teams on the wrong route who are still alive? There's only four of them. Kind of makes me sad, though. It's been a lot of fun
bettable
with that segment.
Bettable information.
And you were on top of Buffalo Bills, your final wrong route of the year, heading into last week. Market went to the Bills. They lose outright to Cincinnati.
They did. They were definitely on the wrong route. The only angle before settling in on the Bengals and the points was the Josh Allen rushing yards prop. You know, I couldn't lay it with Buffalo, understanding the issues that they were having.
Mm-hmm.
But then when that number got to an attractive situation with the dog, and said that was just too many points, right? And then on top of that, okay, they didn't even rush Josh Allen. I mean, the way that they should have. And, you know, he didn't play well.
As someone who bet Josh Allen's rushing yardage prop over, would have been nice to see that.
It would have been
but
nice.
That's in the rearview mirror. Yes. So now what we'll do over the next couple of weeks here, in lieu of right route, wrong route for the former wide receiver in the NFL, Mike Pritchard, we'll just look at we'll each do a matchup to watch for each game, each of the two conference championship games as we get ready for this week. So it's interesting to see how where we landed on these, because to me, there's one central matchup, and it doesn't even have to do with Patrick Mahomes' injury per se. Assuming Mahomes goes, how does he as a Kansas City quarterback match up against a dynamic defensive coordinator of Lou Anarumo, a DC who limited Mahomes and the Chiefs offense to 20 total second half points over the previous three meetings, all of which were won by Cincinnati, all of which by 3 points. That, to me, is the biggest factor coming into this game, where Cincinnati's defensive line had 5 different players with at least 2 pressures on quarterback Josh Allen for Buffalo in last week's game. 44% first-half pressure rate on Buffalo, and Allen never really had time to get comfortable and get his way into the game. If you get that same sort of pressure on Mahomes, especially a limited Mahomes with the right ankle injury, I have to think, Mike, his productivity goes way, way down. How do you see the Anarumo defensive scheme actually playing out once we get to Sunday?
I mean, it was a reason why the Kansas City Chiefs changed their offense. What the Bengals did to Patrick Mahomes last year in that conference championship game. Patrick Mahomes, as great as he is, you know, he's a risky player. He's an air raid guy. And with Tyreek Hill out there, you love and you kind of lean on the scramble drill, right? Because you make the big play, you can create stuff like that. And what the Bengals were able to do in that second half and limit the Chiefs to only 3 points in the entire second half. And I mean, it was incredible, but they just completely changed their game plan. They dropped 8 people in coverage. So you took away the scramble drill and you forced Patrick to be patient, to dink and dunk. And that was something that Patrick Mahomes did not want to do last year. So Eric Bieniemy on Andy Reid, they changed their scheme. They got Juju and more possession type people. And now they kind of force Patrick to matriculate and be patient. Now it hasn't worked because the Bengals beat him again earlier this year. But you know, that's an excellent matchup that you discovered right there. And whether Patrick is going to be compromised, which he will be, from an injury standpoint, you know, how is he going to solve the issues that the Bengals present?
And it's why when the line opened, I was all over Cincinnati in a teaser when they were 1.5 point early underdogs, line opening 2 to Kansas City, but quickly got bet down. I bet Cincinnati up, partnering them with San Francisco for the simple reason that Lou Anarumo, as a defensive coordinator, ought to be giving head coaching looks right now. He's he's done that good of a job and deserves to be getting legitimate head coaching looks in this offseason. Anarumo's defense, it's not just the pressure they got in a single game last week against Josh Allen and the Bills, but finished the year 7th in overall pass defense on an EPA per play basis. Final 6 weeks of the year were 4th in rush defense. It's a unit that is quietly, despite losing a couple of really key pieces like Chidobe Awuzie, a cornerback in the secondary, have only improved as the season has gone on. Have only allowed 2 fourth quarter field goals in those 3 previous meetings against Kansas City, all of which were won by the Bengals. So to me, the Anarumo piece of this is going to be enough. Even if Mahomes were healthy, it would put Cincinnati in a very favorable position. Now you add on the injury to Mahomes, and it's why, to me, getting Cincinnati to tease them up to a 7-point range was very, very appealing early in the week. Unfortunately, you can't do that now.
You can't do that now. Nope, not at all. But, looking at the other side a little bit, but Anarumo, I mean, you know, I think what's working against him is look at the Final Four. I mean, they're all offensive-minded head coaches. And I think, you know, it's a copycat league that way, and owners are looking at, okay, the Final Four teams, and, okay, I want that guy. I want a guy like that, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, defensive-minded head coaches, we saw McDermott, you know, be different. You know, you wonder about what the trends are going to be moving forward in the league. But he's a great defensive coordinator. Cincinnati really has bought into the style. They're taking it upon themselves as players, too, to do that separate work from coaches. Like, the coaches will provide tape and all this. They'll study it. But then the communication on the back end with Bates and everybody else is phenomenal because they have to be able to communicate that way to run the schemes from Anarumo.
It's a defense that doesn't really make any big mistakes.
Right.
They keep you in front. That's why Mahomes has struggled, has not had the ability to take super deep shots down the field. So with that, what matchup are you looking at if it's not going to be deep down the field?
Well, it is. It's Travis Kelce against that Bengals defense. You know, it's can Anarumo and Bates and everybody else kind of take away Travis Kelce, which I just talked about supernaturals. Here's a supernatural. Nobody can take away Travis Kelce. I don't care who you are. I don't care what team, what defense you have, what scheme you have. You cannot take this guy away. He's that good. He's that big of a difference maker. Now, on top of that, here's where it gets interesting, because this is a quarterback-friendly offense, meaning you think about San Francisco and all the moving parts, the versatility that they have. Travis Kelce is that. Is he an H-back? Is he a tight end? Is he a fullback? Is he a running back? Is he a wide receiver? Because that's the nature of Travis Kelce within this offense. On top of that, he is 3rd in the National Football League in yards after the catch for receivers. And that's including running backs. And think about all the screen plays and all the big plays like Eckler, McCaffrey. Travis Kelce is 3rd in the National Football League with run after the catch, yards after the catch. So I think Eric Bieniemy, Andy Reid will scheme him to move him around to make it difficult for the Bengals defense to focus in on taking him out. Because that's what the Bengals have done. They've taken out the number one option, whether it was Diggs, you know, you think about whatever Baltimore had. I mean, right? You know, ultimately it was Huntley with the fumble. But they're predicated defensively to try to take away that featured person. And so, to me, that's the matchup. That's the game. I don't care who's playing quarterback for Kansas City. If you can neutralize this supernatural, then Bengals are going to win the game. But if they can't, then Kansas City is going to have a legitimate chance too.
Especially when Kelce was limited to 4 catches, 56 yards, and had the crucial fumble that essentially cost Kansas City the game in the first meeting between the Chiefs and Bengals earlier in the regular season. But a guy who last week, 14 catches, 98 yards, 2 touchdowns. Don't expect to get any discounts, by the way, on Kelce props this week. Want to bet Kelce, you're going to have to pay the tax. Yeah. But 13 of those catches came on 13 targets with an air yardage of under 10 yards. All short throws to Kelce. 8 of those were on hitch routes.
Right.
it looked so easy with the scheme that was drawn up. Okay, just have him settle down in a soft zone. It was amazing that Jacksonville had no idea how to adjust to that and simply decided not to. You have to think that Cincinnati makes it a little bit tougher than just to say, all right, post up 8 yards down the field and catch wide open balls.
Well, you think, but, you know, think about Patrick Mahomes. He's going to be, in shotgun? Okay, you're going to play off of Kelce? Yeah, I'm going to turn around, throw him the ball, and he's going to run after the catch and get us in advantageous down and distance situations, right? If you're going to play impressed, then his body and his skill set is going to create leverage. He's going to get open. If you are going to bracket him, okay, we're going to move him around with motion, or we're going to line him up in the backfield as a running back. Okay, how are you going to bracket him now? You're going to break down your defense just to cover one guy. So I see that matchup being paramount, being very, very important. Now, in the red zone is where it could get difficult, because that's when Cincinnati really steps up. But then also that's where Kansas City gets very, very creative as well.
And it's a Kansas City team that still, despite all the struggles historically against Cincinnati, has put up points. Mm-hmm. Look at the three previous meetings, 27-24,
right.
27-24, and then 34-31, three games that have gone over.
Yeah,
That's an interesting angle to this that we'll get into with Will Hill in our next segment, because while everything is being focused on the side here and the move there, the total has also come crashing down. Open 49.5. It's now sitting market-wide 46.5, only a couple 47 still left in the market. Three meetings between the two in the past have all gone at least 51 or higher. So yeah. I realize that is baking in Mahomes' injury into the market, but if you're thinking Kelce can still have a good day, regardless of quarterback or regardless of effectiveness of Mahomes, you probably think that Kansas City can move the ball, score, and that this could be a game with more points.
Yeah, you have the two best quarterbacks in the National Football League going after it, getting after it. And, you know, one's banged up, but he's a supernatural. I think Joe Burrow, would you consider him a supernatural?
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, as many times as he was sacked last year and got to a Super Bowl, he is unworldly. He
wasn't phased at all last week in the snow, on the road with only two healthy starting offensive linemen from preseason. I would certainly say so. Will Hill, Do It All VSiN analyst, he joins us next. How is Will handicapping the two conference championship games? We'll find out.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh my, look at that, he is! And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN with Ben Wilson and Mike Pritchard.
Basketball fans can turn a loss into a win with the King of Sportsbooks. Just place a single first basket score prop bet on any NBA game. If your bet loses, you'll receive up to $25 back in free bets. Wager confidently and take your game to the next level with BetMGM, an authorized gaming partner of the NBA. Just log into your account or download the BetMGM app and sign up today. Then wager on any player to score the first basket in any NBA game. If your bet misses, you'll get up to $25 back in free bets. Turn game time into showtime with BetMGM. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. As we're back for our final segment of hour number one on the Lombardi Line, I see more line movement, Mike. Even as we go into a break,
yes,
another book has gone to Cincinnati minus 2.5. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much painted market-wide.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, we're thinking the same. You and I are kind of thinking the same thing.
Well, see, I mean, if Will Hill agrees in a second. And we talked about this on a Pro Football Blitz on the weekend, the developments in terms of the news cycle, like Patrick's not walking, you know, and Patrick's not going to be able to play or whatever. I mean, all that stuff could influence the line. But it's early on. I'm curious to get our guest, Will Hill's thoughts on the situation.
You and I both thought this would happen. The line, as the general sense of negative news on Patrick Mahomes increased, it would only go towards Cincinnati. Will, as we bring you in, at what point does this get to be too much of a move, with Cincinnati now having shifted 4.5 points since it opened Sunday night?
Probably three. I think if it touches three, and I think that's probably a coin flip at the moment, and you could say that about both games. If they hit three, I don't think the threes will last long. It's interesting to see such an exaggerated, extreme movement this early. You wonder if somebody knows something here. Somebody got wind that it's really bad for Mahomes, that he can barely walk, something like that, because to see this much movement. Now, it's one thing to go from overnight. All right, you probably opened up a bad number. There were actually Cincinnati plus three right away. Those disappeared. It's plus 1.5. You wake up the next morning and it's minus 1.5, and we haven't seen a correction yet. We've just seen it keep going up, up, and up. I do think if it gets to three, it won't last, but you wonder if this move, there's some information behind it.
You know, Will, I'm one of those to think that it's going to be really compromising for Patrick to play on that situation with that ankle. And therefore, I turned my attention to Chad Henne over the weekend and through to today even, and his abilities within this offense. So it's a year to back up quarterback, right? I mean, we're looking at the Final Four, in which if Patrick doesn't play, only Joe Burrow's got experience in the conference championship situation. So Brock Purdy gets respect with the 49ers and that complete roster. What's your evaluation on the complete roster situation for Kansas City with a backup quarterback going up against Joe Burrow?
It's just so hard because, Mahomes plays at such a high level where if, let's just say he plays and he's compromised to the point where he's an average quarterback. Well, that makes Kansas City kind of an average-ish team. I mean, look, they showed some things Saturday. They ran the ball. Henne, played pretty well. I think got a little too much credit for throwing for 20 yards. But you saw some things from that drive you liked. They did go 98 yards. Mm-hmm. I thought Jacksonville really missed a golden opportunity here to get to the conference championship game. If Lawrence had played a little better, man, there were opportunities for Jacksonville to win that game. But, Mahomes just plays at such a high level where any sort of drop-off here to him being just an average quarterback is really going to hurt them, and it's going to make it difficult for them to win this game. It really is, and I think the best play here is the Chiefs team total under. Boy, I'm seeing it under 24.5. I would love to bet that if it's available. I got it at 23.5, so hopefully, I didn't miss the best number there. I can't believe that there's a 24.5 available, just because as a right-handed thrower, that right foot, that right ankle, that's the plant leg. That's the leg. That's the foot you use to plant, to drive, to throw the deep ball. I don't think Mahomes' legs are going to be a factor. And that's one thing that makes Mahomes really good. Two things. He can scramble. He can, buy himself time in the pocket, and he can throw it deep. So with that ankle being compromised, I think we'll see a lot of running game. I think we'll see a lot of short, quick, conservative passes get the ball out of his hand. You're not going to want him to get hit and make it even worse or have him come out of the game. So I think Chiefs team total under is a good play. I'm very skeptical that he can play well on this ankle. It's a shame because, I mean, look, this is 5 years in a row they're in the AFC Championship game, and if it doesn't go well this week or, they lose at some point, to walk away with only one Super Bowl after these five AFC title appearances, it feels like, they left a little meat on the bone, and, boy, you just never know when you're going to keep coming back and back year after year.
Right. Brief openers at 24, but none of those numbers, Will, are available. 23.5, the best you can get. Yeah. So don't fret on that. It has come down. 23.5, the best team total number on Kansas City. Will Hill looking to go under as Will joins us. You can follow him at NotTheWillHill. How about game number one, NFC Championship game, San Francisco and Philadelphia, with the top two rated teams both offensively and defensively from the NFC still alive? How do you view the matchup playing out?
First of all, what a hell of a game. I mean, these two rosters, forget all the good quarterbacks, the great quarterbacks are in the AFC, but these probably are just the two best rosters, just, top to bottom. Pretty similar teams. Both are going to like to run the ball. Both are really good at stopping the run. So I do like the under 45.5. I just think both teams, they're not going to try to throw it 35, 40 times. That's not their game. I think both teams will run it. That gets the clock running, but both teams are good against the run defensively. So I look for an under here. I think it's, you know, a 23-20 type of game. It's a great tease piece to tease the dog. You trust Kansas City enough to tease them up? I don't know that I do. If you were, you know, smart enough, savvy enough to tease Cincinnati on the opener, I think that's a good play. But I do like the under here. I just think it'll be, a game where the clock's moving a lot. Both teams run the ball. And I think we'll get to a three. I just don't think they'll last. I think the fact that Philly looked better than San Francisco last week, Philly's home, Purdy versus Hurts, I think that's enough to get it to three. I just don't know that it'll hold at three because I think these teams are pretty dead even. McCaffrey with the calf is a little issue too. I think that's enough to get it to three. I just think, you know, it's probably closes right where it is now at 2.5. Those threes won't last.
Yeah, you know what's interesting about that total too, Will, is like last week we saw two high-powered offenses struggle against great defenses. Like, defenses win championships, right? I mean, yep. You got two decent defenses again. I think the 49ers defense is tracking to be historic. And the speed on that side of the ball, I don't know if Philly has seen or played against anything like that this year.
Neither teams have. It's funny. I was just, you know, starting from scratch, going through the schedule. It's, you know, you sound like a hater when you say, oh, they haven't beaten anybody. But you go through both teams, really. San Francisco, Philly. I mean, unless you know, Philly beat Detroit week one. These teams beat, you know, Philly beat the Vikings. You go through it. They didn't beat a lot. There just weren't a lot of good teams in this league this year. There weren't a lot of good quarterbacks. So, you know, you look at San Francisco's wins. You look at Philly's wins. Now, look, when you have those kind of records and you're as dominant as they are, you don't have to apologize. Nobody's knocking them. But you look at them versus quality opponents, you don't really have a huge sample size. So, yeah, it's a great point. Both these teams really haven't, you know, seen the caliber of team of each other. So it just makes for a fascinating matchup. Mm-hmm. I'd be surprised if either team pulls away. This should be a down-to-the-wire game, you know, field goal game tied with 5 minutes left, something like that. Just a really evenly matched game here.
It's exactly why I teased right. San Francisco right away, Will. No hesitation, at least on my end. I told this to Mike on Sunday. Can we please get a three? Give me a three, Will. What you said makes me think, okay, maybe that could potentially pop. Even if it's a juice three, I would happily take San Francisco at least on the side. I completely agree with your thought to an under with both really stout defenses and the way the game flow ends up playing out. You'd think, though, if this is a good defensive game plan from both sides and it comes down to who can execute down the stretch, even though it is a rookie quarterback in Brock Purdy, I still would have confidence in San Francisco and back the Niners here. How much confidence at least do you have when you've watched what Purdy's done now? It's been 7 weeks here as a starting quarterback.
He's really good. He's poised. He moves around in the pocket. He does a lot of things. You know, it's amazing. All this time we spent talking about the draft, we didn't spend 1 second talking about Purdy, and here he is, you know, two wins away from holding up the trophy. Just an amazing story. You think if Lance didn't get hurt, Garoppolo didn't get hurt, he might have never played in the NFL. He might have just washed out and, you know, gone to another league, never played. You wonder how many other Brock Purdy's are out there that never got their chance. But I trust him. I do think he had a couple balls that were up for grabs the last couple weeks. You know, Diggs dropped an interception. Seattle had chances. I think he was dangerous with the ball a little bit. But, hey, all these quarterbacks get away with him at some point. You worry at some point if his catch is up to Purdy. But, you know, you got to feel pretty good that he's, you know, he's steady. He knows where to get the ball. He gets the ball out of his hands quickly. And the thing we don't talk about a lot, Robbie Gould is a hell of a kicker. Now, the Philly kicker is pretty good, too, but you trust Gould at the end of these games to make these kicks. He's a clutch kicker, veteran, and I think this is a field goal game at the end.
Thinking field goal game. That's definitely how I see it. Will, thanks so much, as always, for joining us. The BetMGM book, Rest of Country, did just go down to 2, but juiced to the Philadelphia side at -120. Every book I see on my screen is still painted 2.5. All the books in Vegas shaded towards the Philadelphia Eagles. So we'll see if we get a 3. Fingers crossed on that, William. I'm headed out to Torrey Pines this week. I'm excited for that. Do you have a long shot play for me on the golf that I can sweat out in person there?
You need a guy that can really drive the ball. Kurt Kitayama, he's finished 3rd at the Honda last year, finished 2nd in the Mexico Open. He hasn't won on the PGA Tour, but he's won a couple on the DP Tour. I think this is a good course for him, so I'll play him in some of the matchups. I think he can get him like 90-1 to win the whole thing. So Kurt Kitayama winning would be a favor I would greatly appreciate here.
That's why we love you, Will.
That's like, right.
Will, hey, I need some action. I'm going out to Torrey, you know, get a little sweat going, and Will Hill's giving that action.
You got a good life, man. You got the life. You get to hang out with Rich. You go to Torrey Pines, you got it all.
I do my best. Pritch puts me to shame in a lot of ways. I'm trying to try to capitulate, get back on his level. Will, good to see you as always, man. We'll check in next Tuesday.
See you guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Hour number one in the books. Yeah, there's no way I can't really, you know, compete with you, Pritch.
From the gallery, 90-1
on the gallery. All right. Hour number two, we have some breaking news regarding the San Francisco 49ers. We'll tell you about that next.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.